Hey everybody, here we are on September 22nd with Project 4-4, reading in our daily readings, Daniel chapter 6, the story of Daniel in the lion's den, a story that many of us have read since we were young kids, and I want to take a look at a little bit more adult thinking related to this kid's story. In Daniel 6, another one of Daniel's major themes gets prominence again, that is the theme of prayer. As an old man in the court of yet another king, King Darius, prayer is still the foundation. It's his next king. He's had a lot of them. But Daniel knows that everything that is in his life is absolutely dependent on prayer. He's 80 years old now, and still he won't change his practice. Even when the foolish decree of Darius comes up, Daniel's not going to stop his praying. Not only is he not going to stop praying three times a day, he's not going to change what time he prays, he's not going to change what place he prays, he's just not going to hide the fact that he is a prayer guy, not even under the threat of death. So I wonder if prayer is that important to us. Sadly, I think we pretty much know the answer to that. It's not. And perhaps that's the reason why we don't see the kind of power released that Daniel saw. Perhaps that's why we don't have the same kind of supernatural encounters that Daniel had. Perhaps that's why we don't see the visions and supernatural things happen all around us that Daniel saw. Perhaps if we were as committed to prayer as Daniel was, we would see these same things happening in our culture these days. Now, I'm sure that you took due note today of the tremendous hatred that the Babylonians had for Daniel, and maybe you wondered, why in the world is that? I mean, maybe some of them were native Babylonians, and they hated that Daniel, a foreigner, a Hebrew, and an old dude, had been given authority over them. Maybe it was just the fact that Daniel was righteous and they were evil. Sometimes when somebody comes in contact with somebody who's righteous, when they're evil, well, they just want that person out of the way because they know how bad it makes them look in comparison. I don't know, but I do know that it fits a pattern. Very often in the pages of the scripture, we find that the righteous being hated without cause simply because they are righteous. Their presence constitutes an implied threat, a challenge to the ungodly. We saw it in the story of Cain and Abel, and again in the story of Joseph and his brothers. David suffered at the hand of Saul simply because he was the chosen one of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ was hated beyond measure just because he was holy. And Jesus said to his disciples, and by extension also to us, "Remember how they treated me and expect to be treated the same way." Daniel's story is proof that it really does work that way. His verse, he had been possessed in the New Testament. Had he been possessed in the New Testament scripture, his life verse might have well been, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, there will be times when we stand in very difficult circumstances for no other reason than that we chose to honor God. Now, if that happens to you, hold your chin up high and rejoice, because great is your reward in heaven. As for Daniel, so for you. Now, everyone knows the conclusion of the story of Daniel and the lion's den. Daniel is saved because the angel shuts the lion's mouth. Just another miracle in the series of miracles in the lives of these great servants in the front of the God of Babylon. Ho-hum, another story of Daniel, another miracle takes place. But not only is Daniel saved, but his enemies are thrown into the pit in his place. And the lion makes rather short work of them. It's just another marker that this was a miracle. It wasn't just that the lion wasn't hungry, he didn't want a person. It was that God shut the lion's mouth. And then when the servants were thrown in, they got eaten. I don't know the way to say that. They got eaten. Well, this chapter ends, as most of the chapters of this book have ended, with a king on his face admitting the sovereignty of Jehovah over the sovereignty of the gods that they had worshipped in the past. This is one of the major themes of the book. The Lord is sovereign over the kingdoms of the earth. It always works that way because God is the sovereign ruler. We look at the shifting sands of culture today. We look at what's happening in politics in our own country. We look at the changing face of what's happening in the Middle East. And to be honest, there are times I get very concerned about that. But Daniel, and particularly the story of Daniel in the lion's den, reminds me that every king, every dictator, every person's heart is in the hand of God. God guides the affairs of the world through the hands of those leaders, and nothing escapes his notice, and we can rest in his sovereignty and his power and the fact that he's working things out in this world for his name's sake. He is the sovereign ruler. Peter's words in 1 Peter chapter 5 make it so clear. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up at the proper time. Cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. It was true of Nebuchadnezzar. It was true of Darius. It was true of Daniel. It's true of us. And I hope that you and I both take the easy way towards this path, instead of having to be humbled by God, that we would choose to humble ourselves before God and watch his hands do miracles. May God's blessings be with you today.